Good evening and welcome to Tuesday Topics. Tuesday Topics is a program which is recorded spontaneously in the politics room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Thanks to the good offices of Talking Communities and George Vise, and thanks to the technical expertise of our recorder, Ms. Rachel Bader, and our editor, Mr. Dave Williams. I hope that all of you had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to listen in to the World Blind Union proceeding. Some of us who were here a little early were actually talking about some of those, and we are fascinated by the way that the World Blind Union is proceeding, and it's a really interesting process that I hope many of you got an opportunity to look in on a couple of weeks ago. Our Tuesday topic tonight is one that was chosen last week, probably because we are approaching the end of the year, and as a result, we decided that it might be interesting to talk about those things for which we were thankful that had happened over the past year, to consider some of the things either in our personal lives or in our organization or in our state or in our country or even in the world that we think we ought to be thankful for this year. I'm not sure how this evening's discussion will go, and only time will tell. I have no idea what people are thankful for. Perhaps some folks will be thankful for things that some of the rest of us are not in the least thankful for. And if that's the case, I sincerely hope that the folks who are not thankful will talk about their thanklessness. So, let us begin. And I'm not sure how we will proceed. I think I'm going to let people essentially play it a little bit by ear until I find it isn't working. Please begin by telling us who you are and where you're from, and then tell us perhaps one thing that you're thankful for, perhaps two, but leave some for later. So let's see who wants to be the first thankee.
Hi, this is Rachel in Orlando, and I guess we're recording this at a time when the World Blind Union is going on, I was thinking as I was listening to it, you know, regardless of how the proceedings go, I'm really thankful that we do have organizations out there that kind of bring blindness issues to the forefront, such as the World Blind Union and such as ACB, and are going right on down to our local affiliates to where the blindness issues or the issues that are important to us who are blind and vision impaired are brought to the forefront, and that we have people that we can turn to, people and organizations that we can turn to gain some support and information and about ideas that we might have or that kind of thing.
I think one of the things that I am the most thankful for, my husband Friel and I gain a lot of pleasure by reading together. And I am so thankful for the Library of Congress's NLS program. We have been reading Herman Wouk's The Winds of War and War and Remembrance, something that I've always wanted to do. And Roy Avers has re-recorded them and has done such a phenomenal job. And we also read his rendition of From Here to Eternity not long ago. And just the fact that we as blind people have access through so many different ways now, Bookshare, the Library of Congress, wonderful literature that we can read whether we're on a bus going to work or in our home with somebody that we care about that we want to share something with. And just the fact that we have so much information available to us now, and it's relatively painless to get, whether it's via the internet or via our local library or through friends in email or whatever. It's just wonderful, and I am so thankful that I can read pretty much what I want to read when I want to read it. It's really pretty phenomenal.
This is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I'm thankful for all the technology that we have today and the ability to use the computers and all the ways that reading has come a long ways, like with the Library of Congress, and also thankful for the fact that we I think that probably compared to other countries, we do have it so much better than other places, and thankful that we have our blindness related organizations to, because of, I think there's safety in numbers, and I think all these have been interesting things that everybody has been saying.
Now, I'm Brian from Watertown, Massachusetts, and I'm thankful for all the efforts of those who preceded us in the whole process of creating a system where blindness has become less of a burden in our society than it was in the society of our predecessors, the Morris Franks and I don't remember his first name, Hoover, the guy that had invented the long white cane in its use with blind and visually impaired people. Louis Braille, the inventor of such a spectacular reading and writing system. All of these people who made our lives so much better than they would be without these inventions, without these lives of advocacy that made our lives what they can be. When I get up in the morning and take my dog out for the first time, I'm thankful for Mr. Frank and what he did for us. When I read, for that matter, my newsletters or whatever in Braille, I have to be thankful for Louis Braille. These people did amazing things for us. There's never been a better time in all history to be a blind or visually impaired person. Like Debbie said, for books. Like Gary said, for technology. Like Rachel said, for organizations like the ACB, all of those things are relatively modern inventions and creations, and we're lucky enough to be born in a time where we can take advantage of all of them.
Yeah, I agree. This is Larry Turnbull here in Orlando, Florida, and pretty much what everybody prior to me has said they're thankful for, I agree wholeheartedly, and especially the technology, because I think that ability where I can go to work every day and make my own living and not have to rely on helping of the government or anything like that. Also, to be able to make it on my own and do my own hobbies and not have to be dependent on someone else at the time. That's one of the things that a lot of blind people do value is their independence. And I'm very thankful for that.
Cool. Anthony, you've been quiet so far. Would you like to tell us who you are and perhaps talk about something you're thankful for?
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Anthony Garcia, and I'm just thankful for the rest that everybody else is thankful, you know, having the organizations for the blind. This one goes out especially to the guide dog schools out there. Thank you all, each and every one of your schools, and for providing guide dogs. And thanks to my school, Southeastern, and the trainers and everybody that have worked with our dogs and getting our dogs to whether I'd like to thank a lot of the teachers and the people who are what does people that are visually impaired are totally blind, such as myself. And especially thanks for the people at Pulse Data and Freedom Scientific and all just the wonderful things that you guys are doing for us that are blind, and keep up the good work.
Touch. I haven't gotten into the thanking stuff, and so many people have talked about a lot of the things that that I had intended to talk about. I think that one of the things that we haven't talked about so far is I'm thankful for the people around me, the sighted people, the blind people, who every day make my life richer, and who give me hope that that in fact there's an awful lot of good things that are happening in our world. I think we often take those who are close to us for granted, and I think it's worth thanking the people we're closest to for all that they give us and for all that they do for us. I guess another thing that I'm thankful for, which may sound kind of corny, but the more I look at the rest of the world, the more I am thankful for the democracy that we have in the United States. The fact is, however, that we can still disagree pretty openly and pretty publicly and not be thrown in jail for that disagreement. And we can still manage to debate pretty openly and pretty freely issues surrounding how we believe we ought to be treated. And so I'm very thankful for the kind of society that we live in that recognizes and values debate and that supports the idea that people can think differently and not be placed against a wall and shot for how different they are.
This is Debbie Grubb from Bradenton, Florida, once again. And Brian and Anthony have both alluded to guide dogs. And I want to say that I'm thankful that in ACB there is room for an affiliate for guide dog users, GDUI. It's a wonderful organization, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my guide dog. And since I have been affiliated with Southeastern Guide Dogs, and lots of guide dog schools do this, Southeastern certainly isn't the only one, but you get an opportunity to meet and get to know puppy raisers. And the more puppy raisers I meet and the more I get to know them, I see what they do and the sacrificial love that they show by taking adorable little puppies into their homes and teaching them good house manners and basic obedience and finding things and all the things that they teach. And then they turn these dogs over to people who are total strangers. They don't know about us or what kind of life we're going to give to the dogs, but they do it on blind faith and because they believe in the cause and because they believe in the freeing independence that guide dogs can give to us. And I am so thankful for these men and women who love so sacrificially and through tears of heartbreak and tears of joy watch their puppy that they've raised walk with their new master for the first time when they come to school for graduations and things like that that many of the guide dog schools have, or whether they're sent a picture in the mail of a dog that has suddenly changed from an adorable puppy into a great guide dog. Whatever your school's method of dealing with it is, we wouldn't have guide dog schools without these men and women who give and love so sacrificially to raise our puppies. And I'm thankful every day for these people and for the privilege of getting to know several of them. It's a wonderful thing that they do.
I've been able to share a very special relationship with the people who have raised my last two guide dogs, and I'm thankful for them every day. You know, they basically do all the hard work and we get the easy part. You know, once we get the dog is trained and ready to go, and they do all the hard stuff just so that they can give the dog up. But I am thankful every day for those people that have worked so hard to at least start the process of allowing me to maintain some independence. And I think one of the interesting things, as all of us here are blind and we're talking about some of the things that we're thankful for, I think one of the reasons it's so easy to talk about what we're thankful for is we come from a different perspective maybe. I'm not minimizing at all the fact that there's certainly a lot for everybody to be thankful for out there, but I think as blind people, when we can really look at the perspective and know truly where it is, how far we've come, rather, as blind people, I think it's certainly much easier, and it gives you a different perspective to really be able to be thankful for so much that we do have.
Well, yeah, I think that's true. I don't think we probably appreciate or thank enough the people that are the closest to us as what they do for us a lot of times, and think we should, and no matter who we're dealing with, the folks or our parents or different people that train us for different things and the work they do for us. One thing about the dogs, I think that here in Michigan, the leader dog school is run by the Lions Club, and I think they train people to, I don't know if the 4-H is involved, but train people, or they train dogs in the home. They raise the dogs, and then they let them go when it's time for them to go to the leader dogs for the wine school.
And this is Larry Turnbull in Orlando. I'm thankful for everything I've got, you know, the guide dog schools, the blind organizations, and the technology. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for, especially those here in Florida that probably have lost a lot with the storms. That, you know, you be thankful for what you've gotten. Appreciate life as it is now, because you don't know how long it's going to last. So enjoy and be thankful for what you have.
So we've talked a lot about some of the individual things that we're thankful for, and I think we could probably make a laundry list that is pretty lengthy. But maybe we can take things a step further by going beyond talking about what we're thankful for, and perhaps trying to explain some of the reasons why each of the things that we're thankful for are so important to us. For instance, it's all well and good to talk about having an organization of blind folks like ACB out there and to be thankful for it, but that's window dressing. That's just words. What is it that the ACB has done, for instance, or is doing right now, makes us thankful that it's there? Is there someone who'd like to talk about that, perhaps?
This is Debbie Grubb from Bradenton, Florida again. I'd like to take a stab at it because ACB, like with every one of you, means a great deal to me. When I joined ACB, I had never really been much of an advocate for other people. I had kind of fought my own battles and done my own things and thought that everybody else could do the very same thing I could, and that they could mind their business and I could mind mine. And I spent a good deal of my younger years really believing that people didn't need to be involved in my stuff, and I didn't need to be involved in theirs, whether it was career or personal or civil rights or anything else. And I'm not particularly proud of that. It's just the way I lived. I was kind of an overachiever, and I guess I thought that everybody else was as well, until I joined the Governor's State Advisory Council for Individuals with Disabilities. And joining that group, I suddenly learned that not everybody is empowered, and that we do need to speak out, and that we do need to shore up each other's civil rights. And it taught me an earth-shaking lesson. And when I joined the ACB, I was fresh from having really learned that lesson, learned that there were people, for example, who went to bed every night cold because they couldn't cover themselves up, and the personal assistance providers that were paid to take care of them were being paid less than McDonald's workers were being paid, and therefore didn't show up or didn't care or didn't do their work well. And it really made me, it was a world-changing event for me to join this organization and see that there were intelligent, capable, caring people that were really in one of life's binds, and that we needed organizations to help. And so I joined ACB wanting really to make a difference, and not only for my own personal life, but for other people as well. And what I realized with ACB was that we can really be empowered, that our voices do make a difference, that if we write a letter or make a phone call, it does count for something. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it does. And one of the most frustrating things that I see with many blind people is that they haven't caught the vision that there is empowerment in ACB and the state organizations that are affiliated with that fine group. And it's an enlightening, freeing thing that I really can make a difference in my own life and in other people's lives too. And it gives you an independence and a freedom that you've just never known before. And I am so thankful that ACB has been a pathway that I have chosen to help me work in every state that I've lived in, to work with other people of like minds and hearts and views, and some with different views, to try to make the world a more level and fair playing field for all people, regardless of whether or not every part of their physical body works as it should.
Well, I've been a member of the local chapter of ACB well, the state chapter for a number of years, but I hadn't really gone to a lot of meetings until a few years ago. But I think I see that the role of ACB is important to as an empowerment agent, because I think that sometimes it's easy sometimes to fall into a selfishness thing where you think, what can they do for me or something like that, but it's that then that is bad, but so far, and another way, I suppose, just thinking of yourself, like, what can you do for yourself, which is being independent, which is a good goal, but what is important is what can we do for each other. I think that's what empowerment's about, I think.
One of the things that that I always think an organization, if it's worth its salt, ought to be able to do is to stand up for people who may find it difficult to stand up for themselves. And ACB has certainly done that on a few occasions. And in fact, are actually, as we're recording this, which is in the second Tuesday of December, ACB is currently involved in a situation where that's very much the case, where we're actively engaged in trying to being in a system where it was very likely in California that a couple were going to lose their baby had it not been for the intervention of ACB. Jim's just left us a text message, which I'll tell you guys about in a few minutes. But let me see if other people might be able to tell us a little bit more about the situation in California and perhaps reflect on the degree to which it's one of the things that makes us thankful for ACB.
Well, I think that it's kind of a tragic situation that could have happened, but it was averted, I think. But hopefully, I mean, if they are allowed to take their baby home with them. But a friend of mine from another list, said that she got a call from someone in the blind parents list about that they're afraid that they might lose their baby because they were blind and they felt that maybe the people, social services out in California, didn't feel that they were going to be equipped to be able to take care of this kid. I suppose this is backing away from what we're thankful for, but sometimes it seems like people in the sighted world or the non-disabled world aren't aware of what disabled people could do for themselves, I think.
Yep. Gary, I think your points are well taken. I'm just, in case there are a few people who haven't followed our email lists, let me provide just a very quick overview of my understanding of what happened. Last Friday, a couple who had recently moved here from Mexico, who were both blind, who spoke very little English, were in the hospital having their first child. And probably because of their poor English and for a variety of other reasons, they found themselves in a situation where Children's Protective Services essentially had about reached the decision that they were not going to allow these two blind people to take their baby home and were instead going to put the baby into foster care until they were satisfied, if they ever were, that these two folks would actually be able to look after their newborn child. And ACB and our president, Chris Gray, and Margie Donovan and Ralph Sanders all got directly involved in creating quite a furor, not only in the Bay Area, but in publicity that has certainly gone statewide and is now beginning to go national, and indicated that this was pure and blatant and discriminatory and that we had to do something about it. And I think in a very real sense, that's one of the things that makes me proud to be a member of ACB, when we actually can see our organization do something meaningful and important for folks who, without our assistance, probably would not have been able to keep their child.
Oh, I, this This is Debbie Grubb again from Bradenton, Florida, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think that because Child Protective Services always want the child to be with the parents, and we've all seen things on 2020 and Dateline and other news magazine shows, horror stories of little children who have gone back to homes where people have been drug addicts and done other bad things. And this young blind couple only asked for some assistance, and suddenly the custody of their child is being threatened. And I think it's a wonderful thing that ACB stood up and said, this is not going to do. These people simply asked for help and information, which had they been cited, they would have been applauded for so doing. And so, again, it's one of the empowering things about being a part of an organization like ACB that stands up and fights a good fight for people's civil rights. And if we ever stop doing that, ACB will cease to be the wonderful organization that it is, that standing up for people's civil rights, regardless of what state they come from, whether or not they speak English, whether or not they're rich or poor, if we should ever stop doing that, we would no longer be the ACB that we're all so proud of. But thankfully, we do champion people's civil rights, and that is a wonderful thing. And I think we can all be justly proud of all of the people in ACB who have gone to the mat for this couple, and hopefully the couple will get the assistance that they need so that their parenting experience can be one filled with love and serenity and all of the things that parenting should be.
Cool. Thanks very much, Deb. I really think that this incident does represent ACB at our best. I mentioned earlier that Jim Worth had joined the session, and he's left us a text message, which essentially says first that he thinks his mic isn't working, but then he goes on to say that that he is extremely happy to live in a country where people can stand up and say what they want, and where people have the courage to do that, and where folks have actually given their lives in order to protect that freedom. And so we thank you for that intervention, Mr. Worth, and we're sorry that we can't hear the mellifluous tones of your voice. You'll have to work on that, Mike, so you can join us next week. So that's we're thankful for ACB for that kind of reason. Is there something that we've missed in terms of making us thankful for ACB? I have one more thing, and I'll get to it. But let me see if someone else may get there first.
I might be saying this somewhat the same thing in a different way, but I am thankful for ACB in the opportunity that it affords us to get out there and raise the awareness. You know, it's things like this with this couple may not have happened if the people who were in charge of making these decisions knew more of what blind people are capable of and knew more of what or thought about more of what people's rights really are. And I'm thankful and appreciative that through ACB we're kind of afforded the resources to, there again, it's the empowerment thing, but to get out there and be part of a group and really let people know who maybe don't know much about people with vision impairments or blindness what we can do and what we're capable of, and let people know if they're not sure, just kind of remind people, okay, these are basic human rights. This has nothing to do with blindness, you know, and ACB allows us and gives us the support to be able to do that.
I'd like to throw in one more thing that ACB makes me thankful for, and that is that on a personal level, it's given me an opportunity to grow. It's allowed me to travel around the country and around the world, and gave me an opportunity to meet incredible people. It's allowed me an opportunity to develop as a person in terms of my skills in writing, skills in speaking, skills in managing information. Again, all of those things that you grow into in ACB are actually as a direct result of ACB giving you that opportunity to start at the beginning and to develop those skills along the way. We're generally speaking helping people within the organization, helping others who may not have the skill level we have personally to give them a bit of a bootstrap up in the process of becoming all of that they can be, if you will.
Yeah, I think that Brian's made quite a contribution to ACB from things that I've heard at the conventions, and I mean, he's done a lot of things for ACB.
Yep, he has, Gary. I think you're absolutely right. Nobody's actually talked about the thing that I'm thankful for ACB for, so I guess I'm going to do it. And I'm going to divide it into two parts. The first part is a personal thing. ACB really helped me to understand that not only is it okay to be blind, but that as a blind person, I had an obligation to judge myself not in the context of this big bad world where I always seemed to be falling short no matter how hard I worked and no matter how capable I was, because I was never really accepted by that larger world as a true equal, and there always seemed to be a double standard for work or even sometimes for relationships. And ACB helped me to realize on a personal level that the only person that I really had to live up to was myself, and that the only set of values that were important to me were those values that I could develop and implement for myself as a blind person. And that was a tremendously valuable thing for me. And I think the other thing that I'm thankful for ACB for is that it gives me an opportunity to be in a place with other folks who are blind who reinforce my belief that it's not only okay to be blind, that it's sort of cool, and who are a brotherhood or a sisterhood of people who have the same problem as I do and with whom I can feel comfortable talking about the frustrations I have sometimes with the world outside. These maybe aren't earth-shattering things, but they were very important things for me, and they're at the core of why I'm as involved in ACB as I am. The opportunity to interact and become friendly with people who've helped me to come to terms with who I am in ways that I would never have without ACB.
I think, Paul, this is Debbie Grubb again from Bradenton, Florida. Building on what you said, every time I go to an ACB convention or the legislative seminar or President's Mid-Year Meeting, I am astounded by the talent, by the caliber of people that are involved in ACB, men and women who accomplish so much in their personal lives, who are involved in so many significant things in their communities, where they live and where they work. And it's just a marvelous thing, and it makes me realize that there really isn't much I can't do because there's so many people out there who are doing many of the things that I have wanted to do, that I was curious to find out if I could do. And it's just a wonderful thing to mingle with people of like mind and like values who are so talented and have so much to offer to this world, and who choose, for whatever reason, and luckily for us, who choose to bring their significant gifts to the American Council of the Blind. It's just a wonderful thing.
Well, I think that that's true, too. I think that it would be hard if I wasn't with people who were of like mind as myself to deal with the situations that come up because of blindness. I mean, it's easier to be with people that have the problems that you do, that you can compare with and learn from other people, and they can learn from you, I guess, and that's probably the best way to do this, is by being with people, like-minded people like yourself.
Hey guys, it's Anthony here in Miami. And, I've been with ACB, I think, since 99, I believe, 2000, something like that. I don't remember when, but, all I could say is that, it's like one family. You know, it's everybody's good and caring, and you know, the old saying goes, you know, I know all of us can make a difference.
Yeah, this is Larry Turnbull in Orlando. I agree with a lot of the stuff with ACB, with especially the conventions. I like to see all the new tools out there. You know, that shows me that there's a lot of things that I haven't seen before and that I can do a lot better in the future as far as hobbies or profession or anything I want to do. And I'm always looking for a way to achieve a task more quickly, more efficiently, and all that sort of thing. And I'm very thankful for those get-togethers and also of all the many friends I have come to know during the conventions. And I'm glad to be a part of the local chapter of Mid-Florida, you know, all the way up through ACB and the ACB Radio Interactive staff.
I'm actually thankful to ACB for putting on ACB Radio in the first place, and I know you certainly had a little bit of a hand in that, Paul. But I think ACB Radio really gives one of the line that they are using now is so appropriate, and it's connecting the blind community, and I think it really does. You know, there's a lot of people out there that ACB Radio is the only means of connecting with other people who are blind, and certainly if ACB Radio can be a vehicle or a means to be able to connect some blind people out there who otherwise might not be connected to other blind people and gain the same benefits as we all do being members of ACB, then certainly ACB Radio is fulfilling a great mission out there for sure. And I'm thankful that ACB, my association with ACB and FCB and Mid-Florida Council of the Blind has allowed me to gain some great leadership role models, some of whom are in this room, that I can not only give back, well, I can be an effective leader on the local level as I'm doing now and gain some experience on the state level and national, but be able to also give back some of what I've gained through my association with ACB, and that's I'm able to do that through the empowerment I get from ACB to be able to give back to others some of what has been that I've gained from ACB.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think we forgot to mention earlier on. I think that I am thankful, along with everybody else, for ACB Radio and what it's done for the blind community throughout the world, not just in the United States, but throughout the rest of the world, and it gives people, even from what I've heard, even sighted people who listen to ACB Radio, it gives them an opportunity to find out what all blind people can do.
One of the things that I'm thankful for is that not everybody is as stupid as I am. Just perhaps to give folks a smile, I'm broadcasting, I'm recording or talking using a pair of headphones. And because I'm using headphones, I have my speaker volume turned down to zero. And everything was going fine until I finished speaking the last time, when I made the assumption that I disappeared into the darkness because I had no speech and I had couldn't hear the little creaks that you hear on the system when you're speaking or not speaking. In fact, I couldn't hear a thing. And so my immediate assumption was that my computer had locked up and I needed to restart, which I did. Of course, after I had restarted, I realized that my earphone jack had come unplugged. So I was probably just fine. So I am very thankful that not everyone is quite as stupid as Paul Edwards. people have talked about ACB radio, and I guess I'm glad somebody did bring that up, because boy, am I ever thankful for that. I think ACB radio has made a huge difference in bringing notions of what it's like to be blind and what opportunities there are for people who are blind to folks all over the world. And if we could find some ways to ensure that more people got an opportunity to hear ACB radio, I think that would be cool. But I'm really glad somebody brought that up, because it is certainly something that's well worth being thankful for.
See, I complimented you and everything, Paul, and you missed it. One of the things I had said was that that you had a hand in bringing ACB radio, or starting it anyway. So you missed a compliment there.
Well, thank you. And another person in this room, Brian Charlson, also did. Really, there were three of us on the subcommittee that was set up by the board of ACB, Brian, Chris Gray, and myself, who I guess were more responsible than anybody else for making ACB radio happen.
Well, you guys, I've only been with I've only listened to ACB radio a few times, and I tell you, it's incredible. It's just awesome. It is, and it's amazing how a lot of people put their time and their effort and to provide programs.
The position that we're using with ACB radio right now is connecting the blind community, and that is the bottom line. It certainly does, and as part of the ACB radio team and staff, I'm really happy to be able to be part of that and have a hand in some small way of trying to bring blind people together.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody who's involved with ACB radio. It's a way in the next year to get more people involved with ACB radio, listening to it or get the word out for people, more people to know about it. That would be great.
I really enjoy ACB radio, and I thank the staff for allowing Rachel and I to have our fun on interactive. It's one of the things I most look forward to every week. It's really have fun doing that.
I'm going to throw something else out, and this will probably be my last contribution. But I'd like to indicate that I'm actually thankful for the National Federation of the Blind. I'm thankful to them because they represent a body which, whether we like them or not, has managed to accomplish some good things for folks who are blind. But more than that, they are a measuring rod against which we can take a look at what we do. And I think it's really good to have alternative notions of how we ought to operate as organizations of blind people out there. And so I'm actually very thankful for the fact that the NFB is there. It certainly keeps us, I think, more on our toes than we might be if we had a monopoly and were growing old and fat on being the only kind of blindness consumer organization. And I think that the NFB has actually done some good things for us. What do other people think of that? Am I going crazy, or ought we to be thankful for the Federation?
I think you're right. As you say, it gives us something that we can measure ourselves against. And if we don't have anybody else to kind of, run that race with to get done the things that we want to get done, it would be very easy to just sit back and not do anything, as you say. So I agree with you. I'm thankful that they are around, and I know they certainly do have some people who feel very strongly about some of the same issues that we do. They may take a different road to get to the same conclusion, but it takes different people to get things done sometimes, and they certainly do have some good goals as well.
I think it's important to be thankful for NFB, because without it, there probably wouldn't be an ACB. if you read the names of all the awards that all of our awards are named after, the major early leadership in the ACB, the pain that they suffered in separating themselves from the NFB, there would probably be no ACB. I was really astounded one night when I heard MJ Schmidt talk about the personal sacrifice, the breaking up, the sundering of friendships, and it was a very costly thing for people to leave the National Federation of the Blind and start the American Council of the Blind. It was not an easy thing to do. It wasn't something that came lightly, and leaving that hotel and walking across that famous street and going in the hotel across the way and beginning the work of starting the American Council of the Blind was not an easy thing. And so, yes, I'm thankful for the National Federation of the Blind, and I'm thankful for the men and women in it who saw some of its weaknesses and saw things that it could do better and wasn't likely to do, and saw the need to start another organization, our organization. So I'm thankful, very thankful.
I would agree with you, Debbie. It just seems too appropriate of a time to bring this up. I'm actually in the process of reading, a little bit better late than never, of reading the ACB history, and it's really an interesting book, and it gives an interesting perspective of that transition, you know, from NFB being the only organization and from people seeing that there needed to be some change and starting ACB. And I would encourage anybody who hasn't read it yet. I certainly am and nowhere near through, but I am in the process of reading it, and it is very enlightening.
I have always said this to people, is that I think if both of them were to completely merge, I think we'd really be unstoppable. I mean, that's my opinion. I think it is because of just on just the people that represent both, and so much that, you know, we've all accomplished.
And sometimes I felt that it would be better if we could speak with one united voice, but I think that there's a lot of ways that NFB and ACB can work together, and maybe that's what we should be working toward, finding some way to get them to work together, or maybe even we should think of ways what we can do to get more people to join the American Council for the Blind.
Walking Alone and Marching Together is written by a guy called Mattson, who is a professor of history at the University of Hawaii. And it is essentially a sort of a history of the National Federation. It's really far more a kind of a showcase for a number of pivotal NFB documents, rather than being so much a history of the National Federation of the Blind. But the book that Rachel was referring to, I'll let her tell you about herself.
I know you've actually read the whole book. You could probably actually tell it better than me, but nothing like putting me on the spot there, Paul. It was written by Jim and Marjorie McGivern. It's available at the ACB store in accessible format as well. And I have not gotten very far. But it was the idea of Durwood McDaniel, who had ideas of things needing to change. And it was basically kind of his idea to get started with the ACB. And this was a something that he had wanted to do for a long time. I haven't read all these yet again, but he had all kinds of documentation that kind of recounts a lot of the historical events that happened as ACB started, and some of the things that happened in NFB to bring about this desire to branch off into another organization. And I don't do the book justice at all with that summary, but it's certainly interesting.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Maybe there must be some things that we could find where ACB and NFB could work together to make things better for blind people throughout the U.S.?
Well, I think the truth of the matter is that we do work together quite often, more often than not. This is Debbie Grubb again in Bradenton. And I think the other thing that we have to remember is that right now NFB is more of a service provider, whereas ACB is a pure advocacy organization that fights for the civil rights of people who are blind and visually impaired. While I've got the mic, I'd like to say that one of the things I am most thankful for in ACB is the availability of the leadership to people who really show an interest in trying to work. If you want to do a job and you really are showing that you are willing and want to work, the leadership will be available to you. I remember when I was elected to my first term as president of the ACB of Maryland, and Durward McDaniel called me on the phone and talked to me for 2 hours. And here I was, this from this small affiliate with little or no money, little or no clout. We had gotten some legislation passed, but nothing like, say, ACB of California or the Oklahoma affiliate or the Missouri affiliate. And I have always found that to be true. When I've called the national office with questions or needing things or whatever my needs have been, when people have seen that I'm asking them so that I can get them work done, I have always found the ACB leadership to be open and friendly and warm and giving and helpful. And I think that is one of the successes of our organization, that we do find a way to bring new people along. It's just like Rachel and Larry. They showed an interest in ACB radio. They have the technological skills. They're young. They're interested. They're on fire for this radio and for what it can mean for blind people. And by jingo, they've been given a show. And that's the secret of the success of ACB radio, that if you show that you really are interested in working for the common good and the greater good, and that you're not just going to talk, you will be given the tools and the help that you need and the opportunities to get some work done and to do things that will enable other blind people to have richer and better lives. And I think that is one of the greatest secrets of the success of the American Council of Blind, and one of the things for which I'm the most thankful.
Okay, this is Rachel, and I have to redeem myself. Now that I've been totally embarrassed by blanking out on the title of the book, it is called People of Vision.
People of Vision?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we are actually getting towards the place where we need to wind down our program for this evening. So let me give anyone else who has a final thought about things we should be thankful for an opportunity to share that with us. And if not, we will wind things down for this evening.
This is Debbie Grubb from Bradenton, Florida. I'm thankful for the Americans with Disabilities Act and every state law that gives me the right to access public places, businesses, the right to hold a job, the right to live the American dream, my version of it, whatever that looks like. And when I pick up my dog's harness and go out every day and can do pretty much what I want, that's a pretty amazing thing. And it's because of organizations like the National Federation of the Blind, the American Council of the Blind, and myriads of other organizations that fight for the rights of people with disabilities, that we have that right, that we have civil rights legislation that guarantees us the right of equality in American citizenship. And that's a pretty astounding thing. And even though we had a little fallback with this little baby and his rather sad beginning, I think we will ultimately be victorious because we are the American Council of the Blind and because we have right and we have the law on our side. And that is so much to be thankful for.
Well, yeah, I think that I am thankful for that and the consumer organizations like ACB and NFB and the work they're doing to help make things better for all blind people and for the American with Disability Act, ADA, and all of those things that have helped us progress throughout all the years.
I have to say, I thank past and present leaders and past and present people with the ADA and the people that have written that. And I of course, want to encourage those that are going to be future leaders and, you know, thank you too as well for wanting to be future leaders there.
This is Rachel. And yeah, this may sound a bit corny, but I really, truly am sincere when I say I thank all of you. I'm thankful for all of you, rather, because I come in here each week to the Tuesday Topics chats, and there's always something that inspires me, that gives me some new idea that I hadn't thought of before, that I can take and either put into practice or think about and really get a different perspective on things. So I'm thankful to all of you for kind of giving me some new insight that I may not have thought of before.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for all of your thoughts. When we began this program tonight, in fact, before we began it, I wondered if we'd be able to sustain a program that was going to go on for a little more than an hour, talking about things that we were thankful for. I didn't have any question that there was lots for us to be thankful for. I did have some question as to whether we would be able to find enough articulate things to say that would help to enable us to make others understand why it was that the things that we value are so valuable to us. I'd like to thank everyone who participated tonight, because I think that we actually managed over the last little while to not only get across to our audience many of the things that we are thankful for, but to create a frame of reference that I think helps people to understand better what it is that is at the heart of the aspirations of people who are blind in our society at the end of 2004. 2004 has been an interesting and an exciting year, and as we come towards the end of 2004, I guess I'd like to thank all of you for putting up with Tuesday Topics and helping us to become a part of the ACB Radio Mainstream lineup. And on behalf of all of us who participated this evening in the Tuesday Topics chat room, I'd like to say to everyone on ACB Radio, good night, happy holidays, and we'll see you in 2005. Next week on Tuesday Topics, we're going to look ahead. Last week, we talked about the things that we were thankful for that had happened in the past and that were happening now. This week, we're going to take a look at 2005. We're going to try to decide what we as individuals, we as local, state, and national organizations ought to think about as goals for 2005. What are the New Year's resolutions that we as individuals and we as organizations ought to operate with? Join us next week on Tuesday Topics when we get a chance to talk with you about the things that we say we're going to do next year with our resolutions and the things that we think you ought to do next year with the goals that we'll set for you to carry out. Join us next week on Tuesday Topics.